Those words are so true. From our world belongs to God. And we're going to turn now to a final message from Psalm 145. I'd like to read the entire psalm and focus especially on verses 18, 19, and 20 as they talk to us about the nearness of God. This psalm is such a wonderful psalm because it's spoken about so many of the characteristics of God, and because of who God is, we are called from beginning to end in this psalm to praise Him, and that's how it begins. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. We want to praise the greatness of God. Great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. We praise God not only for His greatness, but for His compassion. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all He has made. We praise the Lord also for His kingdom that has come in Jesus Christ. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. And then there is a God who is profoundly faithful. The Lord is faithful, the Bible says here, to all His promises and loving toward all He has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and loving toward all He has made. And now the passage for tonight. The Lord is near to all who call on Him. To all who call on Him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise His holy name forever and ever. So ends the psalm. For those of you who love music, and I'm sure there are many music lovers here this evening, Psalm 145 is like an overture to the final movement of the Psalms. It begins with praise, and it ends with praise. And it's like this overture to the last part of the Psalms, as it moves from Psalm 146 all the way to Psalm 150. And if you take a look at those psalms, every single one of them does the same. They begin with praise, and they also end on a note of praise. When we take a look at the kind of world in which we live, when we listen to the nightly news and all of the challenges, the heartbreaks, the struggles, the things that can create so much fear in the minds and hearts of so many throughout the world. How is it that in the midst of that kind of a world, we can praise God so much, such that the psalmist David would call us to praise God every day, in the midst of this world, I will praise you. How is that possible? I think it's possible when we have a sense of what David had when he talked to us tonight at the end of this psalm about the nearness of God. It makes a profound difference when a person knows and understands and lives out of the great biblical truth that God is near. And in this verse 18, David begins talking about that. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. David, as you know, did not have a very easy life of it. It might be easier to praise God if he had a really comfortable, rather easy life. But you know from the scriptures that he didn't. David went through life facing many obstacles and challenges. Some of them, humanly speaking, beyond what a person could face and deal with. David faced things as a young person, as a shepherd, dealing with leading sheep, with the threats constantly of wild animals, the bears, the lions that were prevalent in the land of Canaan at the time, and always needing to protect the sheep, and he did so, often at the peril of his own life. As he grew up a little bit more, the day came when he faced a giant named Goliath, and you know of that story. How is it possible for somebody to face someone that tall, that big, that massive, that absolutely scared the living daylights out of the entire Israel army? And as a young boy, to go and face someone like that, head on, one on one. Except that someone like David was gripped deeply with the sense that he was not alone in this battle, but that God was near to him and leading him and would bring him the victory. Later on in his life, he faced many challenges from King Saul, who basically wanted him dead. And so he was constantly scampering around, hiding with his men here and there, until he took the throne. And when he took the throne, he had to deal with all the challenges and types of things that leaders deal with in political ways. He faced enemies from the outside, led many armies throughout his life. He faced enemies from inside his own kingdom as well. He faced the realities of life. He faced the realities of death. But he did it all with a sense of the nearness of God. When we face challenging things in our lives, I think it's safe to say, and I'm sure you would agree with me, that we all want people during those times around us. We want people who we know and love and care about and who care about us to surround us. We heard some of that already tonight in answer to my question, where have you seen, how have you seen and experienced the nearness of God? When we go through those valleys and trials and struggles, it is a wonderful thing to be embraced in a sense of community. And we are a people, of course, who are created and made for community. God made us like Himself. God is a triune God, and one of the implications of that, of course, is the fact that we are people made to be like God. We function best in community together. And so we need, and it is humanly reflective of us, that when we go through these challenges, people surround us and we want that and we need that. But most of all, the kind of community that we were made for is community with God. From the very beginning, we are people who are restlessly religious. We cannot escape it. There isn't one single person sitting here tonight, there isn't one single person we will ever meet in our lives who is not religious to the core. Whether they know it or not, whether they believe it or not, whether they live out of it or not, that's the way it is. God created us to be like himself. We are restless, as St. Augustine said in the 4th century, until we rest in thee. Why is that? Because we were made for God. Because at the deepest core of our lives, we find our greatest strength knowing that God is there, that God is a part of our lives. And it is the greatest desire of God, not only that we know that he is near, but it is his desire that he be near to us, his people. Now, throughout history, there have been times when strange ideas, strange winds in terms of philosophy and thinking have blown through the minds and hearts of people. One of those you may have heard called deism is the kind of thing that basically says, yes, I believe that God is there, but God is at a distance. God is far away. And being far away, God is definitely not near to me. God is not the kind of God that really cares about me. God doesn't watch over me. God doesn't help me. God is just out there, but he is not near. The Bible, in this particular passage here, of course, speaks exactly the opposite. It reminds us that God is near to us who seek him. God is a God who is never far from us. And so in Jesus Christ, when God came near to us, God came to bring salvation for many, many, many things. But one of the big things that God came in Jesus Christ to bring salvation from was this human, sinful sense of self-sufficiency. That somehow we can get on and make it in life alone without God. That we don't need the nearness of God, thank you very much, because I have all that I need within me to live this life quite well. Jesus Christ came to save us from the misguidance of that kind of thinking and living. He came to save us through his nearness, also, I think, from the sense that when we pray, God is somehow out there, but he isn't really listening to me. Sometimes I think we pray like that. I want you to think about something, because often I hear when we pray, sometimes I've done it myself, God be with us in this or that, at this meeting, at that thing that we're doing in the church, etc., etc. I want you to pause and think about that. It's assuming that somehow God isn't with us, and we have to invite him and ask him to be with us, when in fact Jesus said a long time ago, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am always going to be with you, every moment of every day, in your good days and your difficult days, in your most challenging moments and your greatest victories and joys. I am going to be with you. And not only that, Jesus promised that I will come back to you after he left, and I will come back to you through my Spirit, and I will live actually right within you. Now, it doesn't get any closer and nearer than that. So it seems to me, though it isn't, you know, like wrong to pray that way, Lord, be with us, I just want to impress upon you, when you really think about it, that God is with us, always. He's with us right now. He's with us when you leave here and whatever you're going to do this week. God will be with you. And because God is so near to us, David talks about here, verse 18, the Lord is near to all who call on him, who call upon him in truth and with sincerity of heart. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him in verse 19, and he hears their cry. Because he is near, he hears, David is saying. So David is a man of prayer. Having gone through the many challenges of life that he has faced, knowing that this unbelievable God that he cannot possibly hope to really get his mind around and fully understand, that this God is near to him, he prays with the confidence that God hears us. And so can we pray with that kind of confidence. Psalm 145 is a great encouragement to us, it seems to me, based on the fact of God's nearness and the fact that God hears us, that we can pray very specifically about things, very boldly about things, and very confidently about things. There is a Jewish teaching called chutzpah. Chutzpah, related to prayer. It's the idea of someone like Abraham who prayed back in Genesis for the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Lord, if there are even X number of people there, would you spare them? And he just kept bringing it down and down and down and down. And God said, if there are 40, I'll spare the place. If there are 30, I'll spare the place. If there are even 20 righteous people, I'll spare the place, etc., etc. And that was an example in the Bible of this prayer with boldness, knowing that God is near and that God will hear. So it gave Abraham a tremendous sense of chutzpah, a sense of being bold with God in one's prayers. And that's one of these things that comes out of this, when we know that God is actually so close to us, desires us to pray more even than we desire to pray, and is just waiting for us as his children to ask with confidence and with boldness. This is the kind of man that David was. When he sinned greatly in his life, which he did, confidently and boldly he would go before God and ask for an even greater forgiveness, knowing that he would receive it. As he faced the armies that challenged him, the difficulties that he walked through, he was deeply a man of prayer. And so this sense that he had of praying so confidently and boldly with God, based on the nearness of God, shines through in this psalm right here, in Psalm 145. Can you imagine a God who is as great as David says he is in this psalm, who is filled with this kind of compassion for people in their brokenness, a God who is so faithful to his promises, every one of them, that he would not hear us and he would not answer us in ways that are, in his wisdom, best for us. Well, David believed in that kind of a God. And he prayed confidently to that kind of a God. That kind of a God answers prayers even from people who are crying out to him, who have been very, very, very far from him. I remember reading a story a number of years ago of John Wimber, who started the Vineyard Movement. John, in his life, was what he called a fourth-generation pagan. For four generations in his life, absolutely nobody in his family line went to church. Nobody believed in God. Nobody practiced any kind of spiritual disciplines whatsoever. He was, in his own terms, pagan. Until God, in the work in his life, brought him to his knees one day because of various things that were going on, various challenges he was facing. And John went out into the desert and he got on his knees and he said, God, if you are real, help me. And it's amazing when you read the story of his life, how God, who was near to him, who heard him, began to work in his life, turned him around eventually to commit his life to Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord. And then God used him to begin the entire Vineyard Movement, of which we have some of those churches right now in the Grand Rapids area. It all started with John Wimber. It all started with his agonized cry one day when he was without hope at the end of his rope. But God was near. And God loves to hear people cry out to him. If God is this near, and if God is a God who hears, then in this verse 20, David talks about how he didn't have to fear when he went through life. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. He watches over those who love him, and that's a promise. The God who is near, the God who hears when we cry out to him, creates a sense in us that there is no need to fear. I think I am not wrong in saying that there is no statement in the Bible that is repeated more than those three words to people by God in one way or another. Do not fear. Do not fear when you're going through life, because I am near, and because I will always hear you when you pray to me. That is the most comforting thing, it seems to me. To go through life facing any kind of a situation and actually not have to fear. There's a lot of fear in the world right now because of what's going on in North Korea. And what this person, this young political leader, could do with these ballistic missiles. And so we need to filter these words from Psalm 145 through a very relevant situation like that we're facing in our world right now. My aunt Winnebel Gritter just wrote an email to some of us who are in contact with her, because she's in Mexico right now, and she said, "We have an urgent need for prayer because the pastor in Mexico that she's connected with and his wife is under a death threat from one of the drug gangs right now in Mexico." That's real in that pastor's life. And so how do we face that type of thing? How do we deal with it? We're reminded of the Lord's words here that we don't need to fear. There are many, many, many people right now who are without jobs, despite a very slow recovering economy in the United States. Maybe that's you, and maybe if it's not, you know someone like that. It's a very challenging situation. And in the midst of those situations, God says to all of us, "I am near to you in that situation financially. I hear your cries. Do not fear." We don't have to fear our past. We don't have to fear anything in our present. And we don't have to fear our future. And the Apostle Paul in Romans 8 reminded us in those wonderful words of why that is, when he said to all of us who are followers of Jesus, that there is nothing in this world that will ever separate us, nothing that will ever separate us from the love of God that is ours in Jesus Christ. Go into your week with that comfort, knowing that God is near, knowing that God always hears, and knowing that because that is so, you have no need to fear. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are so near to us in Jesus Christ and through your Spirit. Strengthen us, each of us, in the midst of what we face in many different ways in life. Where the fears get the better of us, come to us with the comfort of your presence again to alleviate those struggles and challenging difficulties. I thank you, Lord, that in your grace we are yours, and in your grace you are ours. So help us to go into this week comforted by these words from this psalm, these words of a man who has been where we have been and who knew how near you were to him. In Jesus' name, amen.